is Friday, June 26th of 2020. How about all them apples? Right here. Come to a stop. Come to a stop. There we go. On Guy's Daily Drive. Gotta drive first. End of the week. I've been at work every single day this week, though. Two days were abbreviated. One because of some work being done in the building, and the other one because I wasn't feeling well. But it has been a full week back at work. I actually had to fill my car with gas yesterday. I was stunned. It's like, why? It seemed like it was only a month ago I filled this car with gas. So that's not really what I'm here to talk about. Let's talk about Apple. So WWDC is going on. I can't remember if this is the last day or if it goes on to next week. But it's all being done virtually because of the pandemic. So they had the keynote on Monday, which was all pre-recorded. And I suppose some people really enjoy the spontaneous nature of a live performance from people who probably shouldn't give live performances, like Tim Cook and a lot of the other presenters at Apple, because they're not that good at it. Now, I mean, some people are really good at it. Steve Jobs was a master at taking something that was relatively innocuous and getting people excited about it. Who other then Steve Jobs could make us applaud for iPod condoms? They were socks, basically, but, you know, it was like a knitted cover for your iPod, and they were called iPod socks, and people applauded when he presented them on stage. Now, what was his feelings about iPod socks? I have no idea, and it doesn't really matter. The point is, he got on stage, got people excited, and got them to clap for iPod socks. That takes a talent. That takes a certain je ne sais quoi in order to get people to applaud something like that. So, before I go too much into it, I have to acknowledge that in the lead up to WWDC, when everybody else was saying that this was going to be the announcement for Apple, excuse me, finally moving to their own custom-designed ARM chips that they're calling silicone, that apparently I was the lone voice in the wilderness, or one of the few, that said, no, it's not going to happen. They just came out with, oh, crap. They just came out with the new Mac Pro, and all the people who've just spent literally a crap ton of money on Mac Pros are going to be really, really super pissed. And I imagine that they are. I guess the difference might be whether or not Apple cares if they're upset, because they've now spent a lot of money on a computer that, and you know, let's face it, all technology has a shelf life where there's a certain amount of time that you've bought it and that it's useful, and that at some point or another, it is no longer able to do the things that you need technology to do. Whatever it was that you bought it for, you either don't need it for that anymore, or it's no longer capable of it, or you know, what have you. Everything related to technology has a shelf life. And in the case of Intel Macs, that shelf life has been now somewhat accelerated. And that's not to say, That's not to say that the Intel MacBook Pro or the Intel iMac or the Intel-based, whatever it was that you just bought from Apple, isn't going to be a fine computer, last you for years, and that it will continue to receive operating system updates, security updates, and all of that, for probably, at the very, very least, 2 to 3 years. I can imagine that Mac OS 11, Big Sur, of course, that is going to be Intel compatible, and I imagine that Mac OS 11.1 or 12, depending on which way they go with the numbering scheme now, will also be compatible with Intel machines, as probably will the one after that. So for this is all just guesses. For the next 2 years, your Intel-based Mac, and likely most of the applications that you use, will work just fine and will be updated to work with Intel machines. But going forward, especially with pro machines and pro software, most of these companies are going to concentrate on ARM compatibility. With Windows. Windows, everything is about being backwards compatible, which is part of the reason why Windows has some of the problems that it does. Everything has to be backwards compatible. So they sometimes cripple the new technology that they want to put in because it breaks something that someone somewhere needs to do a thing. And that thing may be related to other parts of the Windows ecosphere or Microsoft that they don't want to give up. So they throw in that backwards compatibility and things just start to slow to a crawl. Well, Apple, because their market share is, and you know, a lot of it depends on whose numbers that you believe, in the 10 to, and we'll go high, 20% range overall of computers that are sold around the world, probably much under 20%. They're able to be a lot more nimble and they're able to make changes like moving to silicone that other companies could. And this kind of completes the trifecta for control, for Apple to have control over their own ecosystem. They now control the OS, they control the computer, and they also control a big chunk of the cloud experience, of services. So this puts them in a very unique position where they make the determination on what is best for the platform. Whether we as users want them to go in a particular direction or not, and time will tell whether they've made the right choice. Now, I spent a really, really long time talking about the Mac being on ARM, and nothing really happened. So now that it has finally happened after I switched sides, I'm trying to think about, well, what can I switch sides on that I really want to have happen, but won't happen as long as I'm a fan of it? So, you know, if you guys can think of anything that you want, or that you think a company should go in a particular direction, let me know, and I will become an anti-fan of whatever that is, and hopefully that magic mojo will work, and whatever it is that you actually want to have happen will happen. It's my mutant power. It's my secret mutant power. What else? Mac OS Big Sur. It's quite colorful. Looks a lot like iPad OS. You've got translucent menus, translucent tops of windows, rounded corners. I mean, there's lots there to make it look different. Of course, the big change is in the processor and how that's all going to work. And we have Rosetta 2 as an emulation layer to move things between x86 code and ARM code. And we won't really know how well that works for the majority of the rest of the Mac OS software until systems are released. Now, they're putting out it's a developer kit Mac Mini that already has, you know, it's all set up with silicone, Apple silicone as a processor, and the development kit, and various SDKs for developers to get started on. And we'll see. You know, I'm curious to see what the performance is, and eventually somebody who gets one of these machines is going to say, look, here's software that was running on x86 code, and look, see how well it's running on silicone, you know, and where it's not pre-recorded by Apple. And I'm looking forward to seeing that, because that'll give us a clearer indication of really just how well Apple's silicone chips work, especially in emulation, as compared to x86. So you had iPad OS, which had a few changes. You had iOS, which had some changes, and most of the changes are reflected across the line between iOS, iPad OS, and Mac OS. You have a new version of Catalyst, which is an environment that allows developers to more easily port their applications over to the Mac OS. So if all of this works out the way Apple says it's going to work out, besides having a new processor and a new operating system, we should also see maybe a bunch of apps that have been ported over to the Mac from iPad and iOS. And I wonder where that's going to leave a lot of established Mac developers. Will they abandon Mac, especially if they're platform with, you know, Windows or Linux? Or, you know, will they just say, hey, we're not going to bother supporting what we've created previously for the Mac? We don't know that yet, but we'll find out. There's a lot of unknowns, as there usually is with a big transition like this. So we'll go more into depth on this weekend over at the MyMac.com podcast. So make sure you You listen for that on Sunday or Monday coming up, which would be the 28th or 29th of June. But that is going to about do it for me today. If you'd like to get a hold of me, my email address is guy@mymac.com. You can also contact me via the Twitters, twitter.com/MacParrot, twitter.com/Vertshark. Speaking of that, please bookmark Vertshark.com, where you can find all of the audio and video. And I haven't done much writing lately, but when I do, it'll be over there at Vertshark.com. That's kind of the overall repository of everything I'm doing outside of the My Mac podcast these days. You can also find me over on Wednesday nights on Facebook, the Mac to the Future livecast with David Ginsburg and Warren Sklar. As well, of course, Guy's Daily Drive. You can find the feed, the audio feed for Guy's Daily Drive, if you're not already subscribed. Through the podcatcher of your choice, just go in there and type in Guy's Daily Drive and do a search, and you'll not only get Guy's Daily Drive, you'll get the Mac to the Future audio and the audio video version, I know it's confusing, of the My Mac podcast. If you want the full version of the My Mac podcast, you have to go over to mymac.com and subscribe through the podcatcher of your choice for that. Clear as mud. What that is. So I'm here at work, and I'm gonna say thank you to everyone who has downloaded and listened or watched Guy's Daily Drive. I had to think about what show am I doing. I really appreciate the fact that you've done so. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like, share, subscribe. Go on over to YouTube, type in Vert Shark, and I believe that all these videos will come up. Bring one up and then hit that subscribe button, and then you can like, share, subscribe. That's how it all works. So I will catch you all next time right here on Guy's Daily Drive. Bye-bye. Woo, show! That's it. Becky! Hi, Becky! Sorry, I it's really, really hard to see who is watching or commenting, because I'm doing this from a very, very relatively small screen from an iPhone SE. And as I've said many times, when I do this show, even though I'm doing a live cast from my car, job one while doing this show is driving my car. So it'll be like I'll be in the middle of a sentence, and also I'll be like, I'm drifting off and not talking about the thing I was just talking about because I have the situation here while I'm driving. And today was no exception. Some people started to pull up short as I was coming up to a stoplight. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to stop doing the show and, talking, and I'm going to make sure that everything related to driving is taken care of. That's the important bit. That's the part that really matters. Oh, I hope you guys are happy out at your new place. I'm sure it's wonderful. I hope you got some beautiful horses and cats and all kinds of animals. And give us a call. Come on over to the old neighborhood sometime. We'd love to see you. And yeah, I know it's not that easy because, pandemic, sickness, illness, death, destruction, all of that currently going on. But when you can, please stop by the old neighborhood. We'd love to see you again. And on that, I'm going to finish this show. And I will see you all next time right here. Bye-bye.